present the News Quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome again to the News Quiz. We start with a clipping from Articles for Sale, read by Charlotte Green.
Cat box only used once, £10, comes complete with cat and accessories.
Thanks to Miss K. New from Hemel Hempstead for sending that. Let's meet the teams now. Will you welcome first on my right Andy Hamilton and Alistair Beaton? Alan Corran and a newcomer to the News Quiz, Steve Richards. And before we start round one, here's a piece from Sunday Business.
The reference to Gordon Brown's plans in the Wednesday edition should have read creating a fair society, not cheating a fair society.
Thanks to Terry Abbott from Manchester for spotting that one. Andy, who was thrown out because she hadn't suffered enough?
Thrown out because she hadn't suffered enough?
We know this.
Well, I think we'd better hand it over to Andy immediately.
Well, hand it over is a bit unsavoury in those circumstances. We are talking about Paula Jones.
We are.
And the judge ruled she hadn't suffered enough. And, of course. The case has been dropped. And Clinton thought it was April Fool's joke. His lawyers were amazed. Paula Jones was gobsmacked.
That's all you need to say. This is a shock decision by a federal judge to throw out Paula Jones' sexual harassment case against Bill Clinton. It was ruled that regardless of the truth of her allegations, Ms. Jones had not actually suffered as a result of anything that happened in the supposed Little Rock exposure. That's the state capital of Arkansas, not the president's distinguishing feature. Mr. Clinton's lawyer said they never doubted that Clinton would get off. The only question was who with next. 2 points to Alan. Alistair, whose laboured message was don't name the messenger?
I think this might be about the Prime Minister and leader of the Labour Party, Alistair Campbell. who got his briefings in a bit of a twist about a phone call that didn't take place between the Italian Prime Minister and the British Prime Minister, and that phone call was not about anything connected with Rupert Murdoch and his empire. It was just to do with where you can get a good fettuccine in Tuscany and pick up a nice villa for under 5k a week in the summer.
Nothing new in that, Simon. Nothing new at all. I remember reading the Tony Benn diaries about Harold Wilson, who called a cabinet meeting, an entire cabinet meeting, to say to his cabinet, "You're briefing the press far too much. I don't want any more leaks." And in Benn's diaries, he then says, "I then went out and bought an Evening Standard and saw Wilson tells cabinet not to leak."
Why did he talk like Sean Connery, then? Oh, unfair.
I'm going to stick up for Alistair Campbell now, because I thought that his briefing was quite impressive, because his initial description of the story, wasn't it, was he actually spelled it out for them and said it was C-R-A-P. And I think that's impressive for an ex-Mirror journalist to be able to spell a word as long as that.
I like the fact that the Italian premier was called Prodi. And I couldn't help wondering whether, if Clinton had been called Prodi, he'd have got elected as well.
The story's all about the number 10 official spokesperson who we're not allowed to name as Alistair Campbell. Tony Blair's press officer has this week been compared several times to a little Hitler, which is quite inaccurate. Campbell isn't little, and Hitler was at least elected to office. Steve, welcome to the News Quiz. Who were told to help themselves to humble pie?
Who were told to help themselves to humble pie? Is this anything to do with William Hague's conference speech?
Two points to Alan.
He told Conservatives they had to show their feminine side, and we thought a bit about this. Some of us rang fine, but they have to be more sensitive and more female and creep.
He held a ballot to modernise the party at this conference and won 95% of the vote, which was a huge triumph. Only three people voted, though.
This question concerned the speech to the Tory Spring Conference. Bob Tyrrell, a strategic marketing professor, told the Tories they'd lost the last election because of their refusal to listen to people. He said the Tories should learn from Mr. Blair. The voters were turned off by arrogant gits. What they wanted was sanctimonious gits instead. Alan, your piece of music.
Come on, let's crawl, gotta crawl, gotta crawl to the ugly bug ball, to the ball, to the ball, and a happy time we'll have there. One and all at the ugly bug ball.
Alan, who's determined not to be bugged by the millennium?
Yeah, it's Blair again. It's wonderful, this new Labour, new model army. He has found £97 million to have a task force of 20,000 people who are going to go in and fiddle with your computers and do things to them. I mean, perfectly right. Anything, any problem that ever rises at all, whether it's El Nino or holes in the ozone layer, there is a task force. There is a new initiative, and Tony comes to the rescue. So it's going to be all right. All our pensions are going to be safe, and our alarm clocks and tea's maids are not going to throw things all over us in the middle of the night. And we shall all fall to our knees beside our beds as the clock strikes, 437, and we shall bless Tony Blair for killing the bug.
I'm very smug, because you're looking at someone who's never used a computer. I'm not going to get a computer until I'm sure they're going to catch on.
Some say the bug will affect every aspect of our lives. Most cars have computer chips, and on January the 1st, the year 2000, they will all behave in a totally irrational fashion by driving towards the Millennium Dome. The scores at the end of round one are for a change. Andy and Alistair with 2, but Alan and Steve well in the lead already with 6 points. And we start round two with an item from the Irish Times.
A gigolo who preyed on a 35-year-old woman was jailed for 6 years yesterday. The victim gave evidence at his trial that the man admitted to her he'd played the gigolo in Belgium, but at the time she thought it was a musical instrument.
Thanks to Freedom Mission of Limerick for sending us that. Andy, which one should be free on the street?
This is Deirdre. Deirdre of Coronation Street. You know, some women are not very good pickers. If you look at Deirdre's career, she's picked Ken Barlow, Mike Baldwin. Pol Pot wasn't available, but... anyway. And the Wizard's thrown up this rather alarming thing that some people can't distinguish between real life and fictional characters. I mean, a lot of people think Tony Blair's a real person. Whereas, of course, he is, in fact, Alistair Campbell's pet Tamagotchi. But Tony Blair got involved in this awful, awful, creepy thing that politicians do of spotting a bandwagon going past and all jumping on it. Some bootlicker of an MP got up and said, you know, will the Prime Minister condemn the incarceration of Deirdre Barlow? And I think if I was a real person wrongly imprisoned, I might feel a bit aggrieved, actually, that the Prime Minister... I mean, what's he going to, you know, is he going to start making statements on the Prime Minister feels that the Teletubbies should continue to love each other very much? Ridiculous. That's the story, anyway. Deirdre, she's banged up, and I say... She had it coming to her. Anyone that stupid shouldn't be out on the streets.
Alistair, which member had trouble being upstanding?
I think this might be about the Bernard Manning of politics. Mr. Soames, Nicholas Soames. You're not allowed to say that MPs are drunk, at least you can on this programme. He was drunk, but you can't say that in the Houses of Parliament. And so he, all 16 stone of him, stood up and... uttered a rather long and drunken speech, at the end of which the 16 stones sank back onto the bench. And he's been silent ever since, I'm glad to say.
Mm. Yes, perfectly true. It's Nicholas Soames, who one of whose previous girlfriends famously said that having him make love to you was like having a wardrobe fall on top of you with the key sticking out. He appeared in the House of Commons chamber on Wednesday, a little tired and emotional after a lunch that apparently consisted of 8 courses, none of them solid. He launched into a meandering speech which touched on the beauty of the financial secretary, Dawn Primorolo, the need for badgers to be housed better, and he began to chat at the speaker, Betty Boothroyd, as if he wasn't sure who she was. The phrase, "Do you come here often?" was a bit of a dead giveaway. Eventually, the larger-than-life former food minister wandered off for a snooze by the Thames and was last seen being pushed back into the river by a team from Greenpeace. Steve, here's a piece of music for you. Come on, Silver Lady, take my word. I won't run out on you again, believe me.
Oh, I've seen the light, it's just one long fight without a you. Here I am, a million.
Steve, why might German children be learning about the two R's?
The two R's, that refers to the fact that the German BMW company, yes, will be taking over Rolls-Royce. The reason I know this for my research for this programme, I've read The Sun every day, and there was an article by Jeremy Clarkson protesting violently about this takeover, saying it's making Britain look like the Woolworths of Europe, this kind of takeover. I think Woolworths is a fantastic image for Europe, you know? I mean, they introduced pick and mix and things like that. I think it's cool Britannia. I don't know what he was complaining about.
At 100 miles an hour, all we hear is the clicking of the heels.
You like Germans, Alan, don't you?
come on, Alan, give us another topical German
reference. I've allowed 10 minutes for this, Alan.
It's often been said that Rolls-Royce is as British as the royal family, and now it's true. Alan, who claimed to be sick of porridge?
It's not the 9 blokes who were suspended from Wandsworth. And the rest of the staff
Scrubs
didn't turn up in the morning.
Wormwood Scrubs.
Yeah. It's awful. I knew I was at one of them. I always forget which. Yes, so these 9 blokes were suspended for knocking prisoners about, allegedly knocking prisoners about. And the rest of the staff didn't turn up in the morning. They had notes from their mother saying he's had a bilious attack and kicked his father downstairs. And he can't. He's had a nosebleed. This is very unlike him. He usually induces nosebleeds in other people. But he will not be coming in this morning. Signed, Mum.
But since, of course, all the post-Thatcherite anti-union, anti-strike legislation, if ever we're going to have a general strike, that's how we're going to have to do it, isn't it? We are all going to have to take a sickie. It'll be the great general sickie of 1990.
Prison officers are not allowed officially to strike, though some of their more militant members did suggest throwing a picket line around the prison to stop anyone going in or out. Until it was pointed out that that's what they were supposed to do anyway. So, the scores at the end of round 2 are Andy and Alistair 6, but Alan and Steve clinging to the lead with 10 points. Let me start round 3 with an item spotted in The Guardian.
A Manchester City fan who threw away his season ticket in disgust at the team's performance had it returned by post 3 days later with the anonymous message, "If I have to suffer this rubbish, so do you."
Next to Miss C. Nunnally from Warrington. Andy, who's the very model of a modern major millionaire?
Can I just say, I think I'm going to be a bit out of sorts for the rest of the show now, because I am mentally troubled by the picture of Nicholas Soames inside a wardrobe. Falling on a woman with the key sticking out. Well, is this the story about that they were discussing Gilbert and Sullivan in Parliament and they all started to show off doing bits of Gilbert and Sullivan?
The Major has a capital M.
Is it our former Prime Minister John Thingamabob?
Is it because he's making a lot of dosh nowadays?
On the lecture, sir.
Something to do with that.
He turned down £100,000 to advertise The Independent. Now, The Independent, which has had its troubles over the past few years, just been bought by Tony O'Reilly. Can you imagine they decided they were going to relaunch The Independent by having John Major advertise it? This enormous, I hate to say it, he's a nice man, very nice man. Failure.
Mr. Major was recently offered £100,000 to appear in a 30-second advertisement, this is true, for The Independent newspaper. He turned them down, however, objecting to the script, which read, "The Independent, if you think we're boring." 1 point to Andy, 1 point to Alan, and we move on to Alistair. Here's your piece of music.
I
Alistair, how did a TV dream turn into a TV balls up?
This was apparently the great new lottery show on the BBC, which the BBC was a little bit ashamed of before it went out, and a great deal more ashamed of after it went out. They missed 10 balls, which is quite a lot of balls to miss, I think you must admit. And they later confessed it was caused by human error, or Anthea Turner, as is known in the business. And apparently Price Waterhouse, the accountants, who I think may have had something to do with the BBC at one time or another, they were there to ensure that there was no foul play, but they didn't notice that 10 balls were missing, which is a bit worrying if your accountants can't count to 10.
I think it's very brave of Anthea Turner to appear in a show with a computerised virtual reality woman. Because I think it's confusing for the audience, obviously.
She's our neighbour. She's very nice. I often pop round to borrow a cup of money. Yes, this was the TV debut of Camelot's new lottery game that descended into farce when someone forgot to load all the balls into the machine. It's the last time they employ an ex-Heathrow baggage handler. 2 points to Alistair. Steve, who successfully canvassed for equal canvas rights?
Ah, yeah, that was the woman boxer with the name Ouch, Jane Ouch Couch.
She's the Fleetwood Assassin.
She's the Fleetwood Assassin. That's her real name. Jane Couch is not her real name. Her real name is the Fleetwood Assassin. And she has got a certificate of some sort to allow her to box. That they would try to stop her, those boxing authorities or whoever it was, said, no, you can't do that. You're a woman. And she said, come outside and say that. And she said, all right, you can do it. And she is now officially a boxer.
Because they arrived at the conclusion that Jane Couch couldn't fight, nor could any women, because they might be suffering premenstrual tension in the ring and get hurt. Now, all these grown blokes with flat noses and cauliflower ears sitting there saying, oh, you shouldn't go in the ring, you know, they're different from us. Not me. My wife, I never knock her about when she's got the...
But the wonderful thing was that they said that, they can't box because... when they're having their period, they're emotionally unstable. Like Mike Tyson's really stable, isn't he? He's a very balanced man. He's, you know, very even-tempered.
Alan, what should be ipso facto out of court?
Yes, I've forgotten. You know, Justice May. That's him, isn't it? Because he doesn't want Latin spoken in court. It's about the top and bottom of it, really. I could have answered that in Latin if... If I'd only been a judge, as Peter Cook used to say, if I only had the Latin. You won't need the Latin anymore. They shouldn't speak Latin because it confuses the prisoners.
Not at my school, it wouldn't. At my school, we had the choice of Latin or sex education. We all chose Latin. So we could understand the judge, but the rest of our lives were very sad.
What school was that?
It's an ordinary state school, and we're all desperately sad, but we can understand judges.
What's Latin for wardrobe?
Do you know what
I've just been presented with a Latin word here.
No, it's LXIX. It's Roman numerals.
Ah, no.
What's stands it? For 69. You must have known the Roman numerals. You just wouldn't know the rest. I'd change schools if I were you.
This is the move to have Latin expressions banned from court proceedings. The consensus ad idem is that they are used by pompous bores to make themselves seem superior. One senior law lord defended the practice, but as usual, he was talking per anum. The matter came to a head when a young lawyer heard the expression inter alia and thought he was talking about a Jordanian airline. But then he thought that Anno Domini 1997 was last year's Irish ladies' pub games champion. And the scores at the end of round three are... Alistair and Andy, 9 points, but Alan and Steve further in the lead with 15 points. And before we start the final round, here's a piece from the Sutton Coalfield Observer.
Heroin can depress the respiratory system, make people sleepy, induce vomiting, unconsciousness, and stop breathing altogether, leading to death. It can be even worse if combined with other drugs.
Thanks to Mrs. S. Walker of Four Oaks, West Midlands, for sending that in. Andy, your piece of music.
I'm a boy, I'm a boy, I'm a boy, I'm a boy, I'm a
And who wore the trousers for Auntie's Mike?
Right, Auntie's Mike. Right, BBC. Auntie is the BBC. Right.
Mike.
Microphone.
Yes. Trousers.
The things you wear.
Yes, well, not everybody. Not everybody wears trousers all the time. We go back, step back
new,
with...
It's the new BBC transvestite lottery show. and there will be no missing balls.
No.
Just rather a lot of wardrobe and not much
teeth. The whole point of the question is about the missing balls.
It's about a midget in the 1930s.
Yes.
There was a singer called Master Joe Peterson. Only he wasn't Master Joe Peterson. He had this contralto and his voice didn't break. And eventually when he was 63, they came to him and said, something funny, your voice hasn't broken. And he took his trousers off. And he showed that he wasn't Master Joe Peterson at all. He was called something like Mildred Etheridge. And he was only 4 feet tall. He was the smallest female male contralto that's ever been on the BBC. I wish he were here now. He'd get more laughs than we would.
This refers to Mary Lethbridge, a grown woman who spent the 1930s at the BBC employed as a male singer, fooling producers and audiences alike. Only once did she panic on overhearing a music director suggesting a spot of orchestration. Alistair, whose genes may be less shrouded in mystery?
The heavy stress on shrouded suggests something to do with that. This is an Easter story. It's about the Turin Shroud, which is being tested for DNA, and they found that actually Nicholas Soames was wrapped in it. they actually found a bit of blood. Well, it might have been wine, but they think it was blood. And they did a test on it, and somewhere in Texas, where they know about blood, and concluded that it was definitely a bit of cloth. And I think I'm into bad taste here, so I better stop.
It's the news that traces of DNA have been discovered on the Turin Shroud. The discovery means scientists could, in theory, produce a clone to fulfil the prediction of a second coming in the year 2000. So Christian joy might be tempered when their saviour turns out to be Dolly the Messiah.
Just as well Al was worried about bad taste, eh?
Steve, how did offensive images add up to less?
Offensive images. This week, the complaints about adverts.
Yes.
I wish to make an official complaint about the adverts. They were so bad, I can't remember any of the ones that were complained about.
The Advertising Standards Authority have complained that not enough people are complaining about adverts, and it's going down. Adverts are not as offensive as advertisers would like to think.
You mean there should be more offensive?
There should be more complaints so that people noticed advertising more, but there aren't. People don't give a damn one way or the other anymore.
People are getting harder to shop, aren't they? That's the conclusion.
The most shocking one, wasn't it, was the naked male posterior with a stiletto heel poised above it.
I saw that ad, and it didn't make me want to go to Clark's and buy the shoes. I mean...
Then there's the one with the wardrobe and the key, of course.
The wardrobe and the key, that would be a key. Great ad.
It wasn't selling shoes, it was an advert for a shop called Buttocks R Us.
It was an ad for jeans. I don't want people thinking I'm uncool. I know it was an ad. It was the jeans the woman was wearing, and the strap line was, wear these jeans and trample on your boyfriend's bottom with high heels.
It's a suggestion that advertising is losing its power to offend. 11% fewer complaints were received by the Advertising Standards Authority last year, though this has been largely attributed to a 6-week postal strike in Tunbridge Wells. Alan, why might birds of a feather enjoy birds of a feather?
I think it's about battery chickens.
It is.
Apparently these poor little buggers who are crammed beak to beak lead happier lives until they're... plucked and roasted, if they watch television. And they turn on things like Newsnight. Oh, there's Paxo, they say. you said the P word, said the other chickens. That's all that it is. These little birds are watching television and dying in a happier state, or a more glazed state.
But the report said, the report I read said that the chickens appeared more motivated. How the hell do you know if a chicken is motivated? It's a determined, steely look in its eyes.
Before we reveal the final scores, let's see what cuttings the teams have brought along. Andy.
My cutting has been sent in from Michael J. Robinson from Huddersfield. A doctor on a transatlantic flight responded to an appeal for medical help from the cabin crew. He attended to a baby with a viral illness. Then an hour later, he was again asked to help, this time a woman with an alcohol-related problem. When the plane landed in Boston, the chief purser asked for his name and address in the United States. He told her jokingly he wouldn't object to a free ticket as a reward, but the purser said the point of the request was in case one of the passengers involved wanted to file a malpractice suit.
Alistair.
Well, for my clipping, I have to thank Therese Bellard in Cirencester, and it's about somebody called Tracy Mannering, and here's how it goes. She was only 5 when Star Wars came out, and her father took her to the cinema. In the 21 years since, Tracy Mannering of Milton Regis, Kent, has seen the film 979 times. She has also watched The Empire Strikes Back 417 times, and Return of the Jedi 323 times. She said yesterday, "It keeps me in touch with reality."
Steve.
This comes from, I think it's Jan Rambo. I hope it's not Ian Rambo. It's one of the two from Hampshire. It's from the Times Personal column. Violin for sale, beautiful instrument, full and responsive tone. Suit a musician.
One from The Independent. It says a study by Tokyo Metropolitan University has shown that women are more likely than men to become casualties during earthquakes because they remain on site to look after children and the aged, whereas men, at the first shock, evacuate immediately.
Thank you all very much. Now the final scores, which are Andy and Alistair 12, but Alan and Steve, triumphant winners with 20 points. Before we leave you, here's a cutting from Milton Keynes on Sunday, sent in by Dudley Fenwick of Milton Keynes.
When Milton Keynes-based electronics group Alsea was taken over by the massive Wang Corporation last year, receptionists at their Rooksley plant were told to say "Wang Milton Keynes" when they answered. There was some amusement among staff when they realised that the company's plant in Germany was also told to answer the phone and say "Wang" followed by the name of the town. The plant is in Cologne.
That's all for this week, but before we go, a quick notice. Some of you may have heard that there are many changes at Radio 4, and the news quiz is not immune. Though there will no longer be a repeat on Monday evenings, from next Friday, you'll be able to hear us starting your weekend at 6:30, with added freshness and topicality. Those who normally love us on Saturday can still do so at exactly the same time, 12:25. So, to sum up, Friday at 6:30, the news quiz. Saturday at 12:25, the news quiz. Until next Friday, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz this week were Andy Hamilton, Alistair Beaton, Steve Richards and Alan Corran. The chairman was Simon Hoggart and the news is read by me, Charlotte Green. The chairman's script was written by Ian Pattinson and Hugh Rycroft. The producer was John Rolfe.